God, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you, to follow you. God, I ask for us in this moment that you allow our hearts to rest fully on who you are, and to, in resting in who you are, to be challenged, to be stretched, to be pulled beyond what maybe feels comfortable, but Lord, so that you would be brought glory and honor in our lives and in our hearts and our actions. Teach us, Father, what it is to be like your Son. Teach us what it is to be who you've called us to be. We do love you. I thank you for everybody who's here. And I just pray that your Spirit works in us in whatever way that we need this morning. Amen. So, I mentioned last week that I had prayed for a Ferrari. I've still not gotten it, right? I remember one time I was out golfing with a friend and we were competing. And in order to win, I basically needed to make my shot from 100 yards out on the last hole or I was going to lose. So I prayed and I said, God, I need to make this. Help me make this shot. In Jesus' name, amen. And I finished with, in Jesus' name, amen, right? Because that's what's going to make it so that it happens. And I hit my shot. And it went. It was looking good. And then it came up about 10 yards short. I didn't make it. So what happened? I prayed that I would receive something. And I didn't get it. I remember sitting on the front row of a church sanctuary, having to get up and perform, and maybe that's the wrong word, but we're going to go with perform a message at a funeral. And I remember sitting there, and I was thinking, God, I cannot get through this. There is no possible way that I have any idea what to say to these people in this moment. Time kept marching on, and I had to stand up, and I had to go forward, and I had to do it. I don't remember at the end of that saying, and I ask that you help me through, in Jesus' name, amen. But I got through it. So on the one hand, I asked for something in Jesus' name, and I didn't get it. On the other hand, I didn't ask it in Jesus' name, but I got it. What gives? John chapter 14. I told you last week there were two parts of the passage last week that were highly misused. We went through one of them yesterday, and that's do not let your hearts be troubled. Not where we're going today, but we did talk about that last week. Today, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, okay? Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now this seems like an incredibly short passage to have an entire sermon dedicated to. But it's perhaps that misunderstood. Perhaps that important that we understand right. Because I think we build a lot of our theology wrongly on misunderstanding verses like that. We end our prayers with things like, in Jesus' name, amen. And I want to ask you to ask yourself a question. No, I take that back. I don't want to ask you that. I am asking you to ask yourself a question. Why do you end your prayer like that? Why do you finish praying and say, in Jesus' name, amen? What's an honest question? Think about it for a moment. Why do you do that? This is why, right? We've been taught since we were this big that you pray in Jesus' name. and things prayed in Jesus' name, he answers. So it only makes sense if I want my prayers answered the way I want them answered, that I pray in Jesus' name at the end of it, sort of invoking Jesus' name on my prayer so that I get what I want. We can spend our entire lives doing that. Sometimes we're going to ask for things like a Ferrari, completely superfluous, unneeded, unnecessary, extra, ridiculous. But sometimes, and we've got to address this on this level as well, sometimes we ask for things that are incredibly important. They're not superfluous at all. They're sick family members. There are family members who don't believe in Jesus. There are things like what went on in Paris. And it's just ask, God, do something. In Jesus' name, do something. Fix this situation. Heal that person. Bring this person to faith in you. And in Jesus' name, do it. And yet, it doesn't always happen. So we have to ask a question, a legitimate question. What in the world does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Because if it is what we've been implicitly or explicitly taught, and the difference there being something that's implicitly taught to us, we learn by example, we learn by seeing, we don't learn by somebody directly saying, if you say in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer, you will get what you want. People don't usually tell us that, but they act like that's the case. They act like that's going to happen. They teach us that implicitly, okay? I did not have to teach my boys while golfing when you're going to putt to get behind the ball and look at where it's going. Why? Because before they even understood what in the world they're doing behind the ball, looking at where it's going to go, they were doing it because I did it. I taught them implicitly. I didn't say, Isaiah, do this. He just did it. Okay? Explicitly is me saying, no, you must take a practice swing before you whack at the ball. That's explicit teaching. I don't think anyone's ever explicitly taught me, though I have heard people say it, that if you pray in Jesus' name, saying those words at the end of your prayer, you'll get what you want. Now, there are people who teach that. Mind you, they're there. And they tell you things sometimes like, don't go to the doctor, pray in Jesus' name that you'll be healed and you'll be okay. Just believe enough and it will happen, okay? So there are those people out there. That's not the people I'm talking about in this moment. I want to address us, so I don't think most of us have that perspective explicitly, but implicitly we do. I want you to think about your prayer life for a few more moments. I want you to really think about it as we start going through what it really means to pray in Jesus' name. I want you to think about your prayer life because I don't want you assessing mine and I don't want to assess yours. Possibly you could assess your spouse's if you hear them pray out loud frequently, but that's about as close as you can get. Even when we gather in the 10 minutes before the service, which I encourage you, show up at 9:13 so you can be in here with us at 9:15 to spend 10 minutes asking God to work in us. I encourage you to show up for that. It is worth your time. Show up at 9:13 so we can be ready at 9:15 so we can pray. But even there, you hear people praying out loud in a group like that. Nobody prays the way they pray by themselves. If they're all alone talking to God, they pray differently than if they're in a group of 15 to 20 people praying out loud so that those people hear what they have to say. Part of how I know that is people are terrified to pray out loud because they're afraid they're going to say it wrong. When really there's not a right and a wrong in this process, but we're afraid of that, but yet we go home and we pray by ourselves and we're not afraid of saying it wrong, which really, friends, tells me you're more concerned about my thoughts about you than God's thoughts about you, but that's not really the point. I've known little children, right? Sometimes big children as well, who will not speak to me in public or anybody else, right? But you get them comfortable and at home and they don't stop. Why? Because they're no longer afraid of what's going to be thought about them. So, all of that being said, you really can't assess my prayer life. And I really can't assess yours, because most of our prayers go on when somebody else isn't listening. Other than God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Other than God, nobody's listening to your prayers. So I want you to assess those prayers. Think about them. Think about what you say and why you say it. Think about what's the motive behind what you say. Think about the words that you use. We are a non-traditional church. That's officially what we claim to be. Yet, I have a very strong tradition on I start almost all my prayers the same. I end almost all my prayers the same. We start most of our services the same. We end most of our services the same. Why? Because we like form and consistency. There's nothing wrong with it. So you should know, thinking back on your prayers, what's consistent in my prayers? I want you to assess that. Because we now need to speak about what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Altogether, too frequently, we treat praying in Jesus' name like invoking somebody's power at the end of what you say. Okay? Let's say I went to my brother while growing up and I said, "Take out the trash, I said so." What are the odds he's going to take out the trash? He was older and bigger, mind you. What are the odds he's going to take the trash out when I tell him to? Very, very low. But if I go to him and I say, "Hey, Dad said take the trash out," mind you, my dad was older and bigger than my brother. He likely was going to follow what my dad had said. Why? Because I invoked my dad's name. I might be lying to him. Dad may have told me to take the trash out, but I told him, he told him to take the trash out. I can fool my brother. Keep that in mind. We spent a lot of time in Galatians talking about how we cannot mock God. We can't fool him. He is not one to be fooled. So I can fool my brother. But if I go to God in prayer and I say, "Oh, in Jesus' name, this needs to happen," he's going to know whether it's truly in Jesus' name or whether I'm just invoking this Jesus' name to get what I want, okay? Therein lies the beginning of the difference of what we've been implicitly taught about what it means to pray in Jesus' name and what Jesus actually meant. See, we are called ambassadors of Jesus. There is not an ambassador in the world who's good and right who goes off to get what they want. That's not their job. That's not their role. They may be corrupt and they may do that and try to get what they want, but it's because they're bad and they're no longer working in the name of the country they're serving. They're now working in their own name. They may act like, "I'm doing this on behalf of the United States of America in, I don't know, Zimbabwe, wherever they are. I'm doing this on behalf of the United States," but really, they're doing it to get rich. They're no longer doing it in the name of the United States, at least not in an honest way. They're doing it in the name of themselves. That's why the tax collectors were hated in Jesus' time. Because they no longer just worked in the name of the Roman government collecting what they were told to collect. They worked in the name of the Roman government and then collected double or whatever so that they could get some, working in their own name. See, working in our own name in this sense is me trying to get for me what I want. But, on the other hand, praying in Jesus' name is totally different than that. It's me coming before God saying, "God, As I best understand it, this is what Jesus is trying to accomplish. My king and my ruler, the one for whom I'm an ambassador. This is what he's accomplishing and seeking to accomplish. Now I ask that you do that. But if it's anything short of that, it's not in his name. And we'll get back to specifics, but I want us to jump ahead to the book of James for a moment. James writes about this. James writes a lot about a lot of things. In a very short book, he covers a lot of topics. And here's what he writes in the beginning of chapter 4. And I'll read verses 1 through 3 to give you context, but it's really the second half of 2 and 3 that are important. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And here's where Joel Osteen stops. Or people like that. You don't have because you don't ask God for it. See, if you'd ask God, he'd give. That's what it's saying. You don't have because you don't ask. You don't dream big enough. You don't think big enough. You don't ask for this, so you don't get it. But that's not even the point. Because James continues on here in verse 3. He says, you ask and you don't get. Okay? So you're not having because you're not asking. But even when you do ask, you're not getting. Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Okay. Here's James, I believe, taking exactly this phrase out of what Jesus is saying. And he's helping us understand it. See, you're asking, you might even be asking in Jesus' name, putting this three-word chant to the end that should magically get you what you want. But you're not getting it because you're asking for the wrong stuff. You're asking for what you could get. Why would you think God would give you what you want instead of what's best? I remember thinking one time, I was getting ready to go play a round of golf with a friend, and I was with somebody else, and I said, it looks like it's going to rain. God, don't let it rain so that I can go golfing. And this guy said, okay, think about that for a moment. Just think about that for a moment. You're praying that it doesn't rain so you can go golfing when there would be people who need rain to grow crops. And now you're asking God to not send rain at their detriment because you want to do something. Okay, let's flip it around because there's a whole different side to this as well. I was wrong. I don't want you to miss that. I had totally taken the wrong perspective on that. But now you go out and you ask God, God, send rain because I need rain. Maybe there's some people out there who need no rain. Who the rain is going to hurt them, but now I'm asking God, begging God, in Jesus' name, send rain because I want it and I need it. Or send no rain or whatever. See, here's where it begins to get all jumbled for me because most of the things that we ask for, which is why I want you to assess your prayers, most of what we ask for is what's best for us. And if I'm asking what's best for me, then I can guarantee that I'm asking for wrong things. Because it has never been about what's best for Brock. It hasn't. It's never been about what's best for you. It never will. It's supposed to be about what's best for God's purposes. And God's purposes might be best accomplished by a drought. God's purposes may be best accomplished by me lipping out a 2-foot putt to miss or to lose a round of golf instead of making a 100-yard shot. It might be best to fulfill God's purposes for me to go through undesirable times. And now we need to hold that intention as we move forward and speak about the rest of what's going on. Because if you, like me, continue to ask for what's best for you, then we'll never be able to follow Jesus' example out of Luke chapter 22. See, we know this, okay? But we forget to actually follow this. Verses 41 and 42 in Luke chapter 22 say this. It's the Mount of Olives. And now he, Jesus, withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And we've preached sermons on this. You've heard sermons on this. You've read this text. You've thought about that text. And yet, we pray that God gives us what we want. Because I don't think we get it. Jesus was going to go through the worst thing you could think of, and yet he understood in that moment that it had nothing to do with his comfort or desire. He made that desire known to God, right? As well he should. You should make your desires known to God. Don't hear me say that you should not tell God what you want, because you should. But as soon as you state what it is that you want, we need to have the conscious thought, this is only going to happen if it's what's best. And I only want it to happen if that's what's best. Because God, if there's something else that you're doing that I, in my limited sight, can't see, then do this instead. Why? Because I understand that you are the one accomplishing the real right goal. Which may mean that you lose your job. It may mean that you lose your friends. It may mean a whole slew of things. But we will then be able to say, in Jesus' name, God, do what's best. I come before you in the name of the one who has conquered death, who's accomplishing a purpose of building his kingdom that nobody else could possibly accomplish. Now, please do what it takes to do that. So I might not get a Ferrari, right? On that level, that superfluous stuff, it's easy for us to see how ridiculous the request is. But when there's something that's dear to our hearts, close to who we are, a family member or a friend, a horrific act that's done, and we ask God to change it, what we need to start doing is we need to start praying in Jesus' name that Jesus accomplishes his purpose. And if I ask Jesus to do something in his name, and I truly and honestly come before him, understanding what it is that he's wanting and doing, he will do it. Now, you're going to say, but he's here to build his kingdom, and I'm asking him to bring this family member to salvation in Jesus. Isn't that exactly what he's doing? Yes, that is his main goal. Now we must step back and ask ourselves a question. Do you believe that God is omniscient, all-knowing? Do you actually believe that? Okay? Now, I would like you to raise your hand if you think you are omniscient and all-knowing. Good. And if you can understand that you're not omniscient and all-knowing, then why would you possibly think that you could tell God what it is that he needs to do to accomplish his purpose? Is God going to bring everyone to faith in him? No, it doesn't seem like that's what he's doing. Do I understand that? No, because he's the one who's omniscient and I'm the one who's not. And if I forget that, then I'm all of a sudden going to be thinking to myself, I know better than God does. And if I start thinking that, then I'll start saying, God, then see, you're all-knowing and all-powerful. You should be bringing everybody to you. When he doesn't say that's what he's doing. And that, friends, in that moment where we want something so deeply that seems like a right and a good thing to ask for that seems to not be happening, that is the moment where we have to choose whether or not we're going to believe him or whether or not we're going to try to get what we want, whether we're not going to believe him. Remember what this entire context of passage is about? 6 times in 14 verses, Jesus says to believe. 6 times in 14 verses. Because when he gets to this, when he gets to this passage and this statement, and he says to them, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And then that doesn't happen. There has got to be a strong level of belief that he hasn't changed who he is. Now, that is a hard place to live. It's a hard place to be. But I want us challenged on a slightly different level. And that is this. We all together too frequently pray for things that are for us. We've touched on it, we've talked on it already, but we have got to stop. You have got to stop, and I have got to stop asking God to give me what I want. Because until we stop that, we are not actually, really seeking him. We are actually seeking us. My challenge is this. Try this once. Try going an entire day's worth of praying without ever asking God for anything once. Simply thank him for everything he's given to you. Praise him for who he is. But never once, for just one day, ask God for anything. And you know what you'll find? In the middle of some moment, you'll say, God, please let me... Oh, wait, now I'm asking God again. And we need to change our focus to praising him for who he is instead of asking him for what we can get. We're coming to that time of year. I've already been hearing it for 2 weeks on my computer radio stuff. Black Friday is either coming or they're promoting that they're starting Black Friday before Black Friday. Now even, you can buy it now. It's Black Friday sales going on all November or whatever they're saying. All designed to get us to want something more. And we need to stop. We need to stop wanting extras. We need to stop wanting more so that we can understand who he is. And when we understand who he is, then we're going to ask for things that he wants instead of things that we want. And if you ask, friends, for something that he's wanting, I guarantee he will do it. But you will probably never get a Ferrari. You might never get anything nice. But that's not the point. The point is him and belief in him. And then when we go before him in his name, praying in his name, praying to God the Father for the things that Jesus has made clear are his purpose, then we're in a whole different world. And it's amazing. So change your prayers. Assess them, right? And then change them to be about what he wants, not about what you want. And when you change your prayers about that, you will more likely find your life revolves around what he wants as well. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have and had to be here. I pray, Lord, that you would use us now to challenge each other and to love each other, to grow with each other, And Lord, use our conversations around snacks and just being together. Use them to be glorifying to your Son. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.